Welcome to the Finding North podcast. I'm Chris Morris. This week, I'm pleased to present three creative non-fiction stories that were all submitted to the In the Spotlight competition in Writing Magazine. The first of these is How to Rebuild a Life, followed by My Paint Box, which was highly commended, and finishing with See Me, an entry which won and was published in the August 2023 edition of the magazine. Please enjoy. How to Rebuild a Life. All at once, everything came crashing down. Everything. My understanding of the world was shattered. I went to sleep in a warm, familiar place, and then I woke up on an alien planet where nothing made sense. Nothing. Everything I thought I knew about the people in my life came under question. Everyone became a yesterday version. I knew very little of these new today versions. Yesterday wife was a loving, kind individual whom I can trust. Today wife preferred the company of another man and lied with every breath. Yesterday mother-in-law was one of my biggest fans. Today mother-in-law ignored my phone calls and messages. Yesterday mother was the great protector. Today mother teamed up with today wife in order to destroy her disobedient son, no matter who she harmed along the way. And what about me? What was I? Yesterday me or today me? Some kind of transformational in-between me? I hunched in my dark chrysalis, hiding from the world, while I had nightmares about whatever diabolical kind of future me was going to emerge. The only person not labelled with a yesterday or a today or anything else was my daughter. She was just daughter, unchanged, a mighty little pillar that kept me somewhat grounded in reality. Suddenly all my expenses cost double what they used to on half the earnings that used to come in. Bills became great demons gnawing at my ankles, threatening to bring me down. Rent, electricity, gas, council tax, income tax, road tax, car insurance, food expenses, all became monstrous villains that I wanted to hide from. Options to tackle them were limited, and all of them would take a great deal of time and effort, things I did not have the courage to leave my chrysalis for. And at the centre of all the chaos, of all the horrid and confusing change, was her, blissfully unaware of the atrocities surrounding us, and yet still hurt by those who should have been there to protect her. I didn't know how to handle the frenzy of my unravelling life, but I knew where to start. With her. Always with her. I put the centre of my life at the centre of my priorities, and starting with her gave me the courage to face the rest of my immediate problems, one by one, until the teeth of those deadly monsters blunted to the point that they were no longer scary in the slightest. I learned that starting with her is always the best move. Even when everything else in life seems unclear, and even when I'd rather hide from it all. She is it. My life. My everything. Yesterday, today, and forever. My paint box. You know when someone spins a fact about themselves to make it sound more impressive than it really is? Like, I was the best blue belt at the karate show on Saturday, when in actual fact it turns out that that person was the only blue belt competing. Or, I was winning the 10k race on Sunday, which really means something like, I sprinted out the start of the race and then was quickly overtaken by faster runners. Well, here's a fact about me that sounds impressive. I was a published author before I was 10 years old. And actually, there's not much spin. Let's take it back a few steps. We're going to read a poem today, called My Paint Box, Mrs. Riley said to us. Yay! Reading was always one of my favourite things to do in class. But as far as I knew, Roald Dahl didn't write much poetry. And this poem wasn't very funny. The author was no doubt a painter, because he listed some of the colours he found in his paint box and described some of his favourite things of those colours. What was really interesting was that he didn't just list things. He described them in a way that I could really see them. The sky wasn't just blue, it was a vast expanse stretching as far as the eye could see. The moon wasn't just silver, it was a mighty but kind god watching over its children below. Oh, this was pretty cool. We're going to write our own poems based on my paint box, Mrs. Riley said. Oh, this was really cool. I felt like an artist as I wrote. I chose my colours carefully and I spread them out on my canvas attentively, making sure each colour was not just a colour, it was a feeling. Green is the grass blowing in the gentle wind. This was great. I always thought it was rubbish at art, but it turned out you just had to find your own way of producing it. Red is the hot fire spewing from the angry volcano. I watched all the colours come together for me on the paper, producing one big and beautiful creation, my creation. Yellow is the daffodil smiling in the sunshine. I looked around my table to see what my classmates had produced. Blue, the sky. Yellow, the sun. Nice try, Charlie. My dad's car is red. Good to know, Jane. Christopher, your poem is really good. I had expected to feel good whenever a teacher complimented me for my work. I had expected to feel joy, pride, happiness. I hadn't expected to feel like an imposter. I just copied the kind of thing that the author did. It wasn't my idea, really. I felt guilty when she read it to the class, when my classmates applauded. It wasn't until my mum told me that it had been selected to be published in a local anthology that I finally felt pride. And I knew I had to keep writing. See me. When you look at me, you don't see me. You know nothing. All you see is the bad stuff, the shouting, the swearing, the chucking stuff halfway across the classroom. All you can see is the bad boy, the classroom bully, the troublemaker. You don't see me. You don't see where I came from, raised by a dad that couldn't afford to feed me, clothe me, even buy me a proper bed. You don't know about the dirty mattress my sister and me had to share, topping and tailing until we were nearly 11. You don't have a clue about the drugs that were found in the house, about the times me and my sister had to watch our dads get arrested. The bruises left on the kid I beat up yesterday are nothing compared to the ones Dad left on the policeman who tried to taser him. You don't know what it's like, do you? To be taken away from your own family when you're only 10, shifted to a different city where you don't know anyone, made to live with a foster family, sent to school filled with people that judge your every move. You'll say you've had hardships in your life too, but you don't see the ones I've had to face, and you don't care. All you see is the bad boy. What was your dad like when you were growing up? Did he beat you up? Force you to drink straight whiskey? Did he pay the other boys at school to fight you in the playground? I bet he didn't. That's the sort of thing you've only heard about in the pages of one of your daft books you won't stop going on about. How could a guy like you ever understand someone like me? All I ask for is that somebody sees me. The real me. I like drawing, did you know that? I love my little sister and I'd do anything to protect her. I started reading that book you lent me from your classroom and it's actually pretty alright. These are the things that I wish you, that anyone would see when they look at me. See the black eye and don't just assume I started the fight. See me coming in late and try to imagine it might not be my fault. See the little twitch in the corners of my mouth when you tell one of your stupid jokes and I can't laugh but I want to. See the tears begin to well up in my eyes when I disappoint you. See me. Because if you don't, then who else will? Thank you for listening to the Finding North podcast. Please follow the podcast on your preferred platform and head over to chrisamorris.com for all the latest. Next week's episodes will be a historical fiction story set during the Scottish Wars of Independence, called A Man's a Man.